11. Metals and Ores, Arthur Street and William Alexander. Man learned to make fires, and later construct furnaces hot enough to liquefy most of the metals he used, and he discovered that the molten metal could be poured into cavities in stone or clay and allowed to become solid, thus assuming the shape of the mould. Archaeologists have discovered ancient bronze swords and other weapons made by casting in this manner. The art of mixing metals was gradually developed, and it became known that an alloy formed in this way was sometimes stronger, harder, and tougher than the metals of which it was composed. Probably the first alloy to be made was a bronze, consisting of copper with about 1 part in 10 of tin. There's evidence that the early workers understood that if higher contents of tin were used, the alloy was harder, while less tin gave a softer alloy, so that for different purposes, bronzes with varying tin contents were deliberately produced. By the time the Romans came to Britain, they were using iron and bronze for weapons, tools, and farming implements, copper for vessels and ornaments, lead for water pipes, baths, and even coffins, tin, gold, and silver for ornaments, and silver, brass, and bronze for coinage. Gold, and to a lesser extent silver, were regarded as noble metals, because they could be exposed to the atmosphere for a long time without tarnishing, and because they could be melted repeatedly without much loss in weight. These characteristics led to their being used for jewellery and eventually coinage. The possession of noble metals consequently became a measure of wealth, so that gold and silver were wanted for their value as well as for their usefulness. All the other metals then known, such as tin, lead, copper, and iron, were, by contrast, considered base metals. Owing to the general similarities between all metals, it was perhaps natural to imagine that one metal could be changed into another. It seemed particularly desirable that base metals should be changed into noble ones, gold for preference. The art of alchemy began in the Middle East, and prospered in that part of the world and in Europe till the end of the 17th century. Alchemists searched for the philosopher's stone, which was supposed to be capable of turning base metals into gold or silver. While the alchemists were trying all kinds of experiments to produce the philosopher's stone, the metal workers, though using fewer words of magic, were continuing to get more solid results in almost as wonderful a process, the changing of dull, earthy minerals, ores, into metals by smelting them with charcoal in a fire or furnace. They learned how to recognize those metallic ores which could profitably be smelted, and how to apply the necessary operations to transform them into metal. It's not surprising that their efforts were sometimes unsuccessful. Even today, producers of metal meet difficulties because of the impurities in the ore. These upset smelting operations or have a harmful influence on the resulting metal. In those early days, such happenings were thought to be the results of the evil eye, or the attentions of kobolds or Old Nick himself. The names of the two metals, cobalt and nickel, were taken from the names of these two evil spirits.